Is this working?
What are you getting there? Hey, alrighty. So yes, we're going through the Good Shepherd today. If you'd like to take some notes, you've got to do a little bit of paper acrobatics, open, upside down, we'll get there. We'll be looking at the gate, the shepherd and the sheep. So we'll come to those, but if you want to just jot those down at all for your notes, feel free. Now, I asked you earlier why you would follow someone. Why would we choose to follow someone? So what were a couple of answers that you guys had? This is the interactive bit, by the way.
Authority?
Yep. Yes?
If you can trust that person.
So they're trustworthy? Yeah, definitely.
Competence?
Yep. Yeah, sure, definitely.
And experienced in the area that are following you.
Yep, so a bit of experience there.
They care about you.
Yeah, you certainly want that from your leader. Any others? Yes?
Willingness to work with others.
Yeah.
And not for all.
Sure. Any more?
Vision.
It's an interesting one for a leader, yeah. Awesome. Well, keep those in the back of your mind. It's an interesting to think about. Interesting thing to think about. Today, here in John 10, Jesus is in the thick of his ministry. He's done many miracles in the past. If you've been here for the other parts of the series, you'll know. He's fed the 5,000 people. He's taught many things, and a lot of people have found his teachings really difficult to take in. Some people, they've decided to follow Jesus, other people not so, I guess. Some of them aren't really sure what to make of Jesus. Some of them are actually a little bit hostile towards him. Many people are wondering, just who is this man? And here at the start of chapter 10, so we're focusing on chapter 10 today, Jesus tells the little story there at the start, a little parable that he says to the Jews around him. And he says, through this story, he's going to answer many of those questions. Who is he? Why is he here? Why should I listen to him? Well, before we get stuck in, how about I pray for us? Dear Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. And we pray that as we open it now, that you will open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Help me to speak faithfully to your word and work through your spirit to change and lead us in lives for your glory. Amen. So, Jesus, he's laid out this little parable, the illustration at the start of chapter 10, and lo and behold, none of them seem to know what on earth he's talking about. So, Jesus begins his explanation by saying, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate." Right. Now, I've got to tell you, when I started reading this passage, I was expecting kind of, I am the shepherd. But here, no, we've got the gate. Why a gate? What is a gate for? That's right, swinging on. Gates are for swinging on. But no, obviously, a gate is for, access into, say, a field or a pen. You might have gates at home, around your pool or around your property. We've got gates all the way across Australia to keep animals in particular little lots. And in verse 7, Jesus says that he is the gate for the sheep. That is, Jesus is the way for the sheep or his followers that they can enter the pen or safety. So read with me verses 7 to 10 there. It says, "Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So Jesus is saying for his followers, his sheep, the way to safety and the way to salvation, it's through him. When people come to Jesus, they're coming to the gate that they can enter through and find pasture. And what a great verse we have there in verse 10. Check it out. It says, when people say Christians are boring, they don't know how to live, they're missing out on so much. You know what Jesus says to that? He says that for his sheep who follow him and who he loves greatly, he's come that they may have life, and life to the full. It's one of my favourite verses because the Jesus racing guys go with that verse. Yeah. The truth of Jesus, that wonderful, that energising truth, that Jesus came to give us, his sheep, life to the full. But I'm sure you've noticed the flip side that was there in those verses. Whilst Jesus comes to bring life to the sheep, there are others in the story who are not so inclined. Briefly through verses 8 to 10 there again. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. Thieves and robbers come to steal, kill and destroy. Now, why is Jesus talking about, thieves and robbers when he's talking about a gate? I'm a gate and there's thieves. Well, the analogy is actually something of Jesus. He's using it to pick up on what's just happened in chapter 9. This is why we started our readings back in chapter 9 today. You see, he's drawing attention to the way that some people acted there in chapter 9. Can you remember what happened? There was a man, he was blind from birth, and Jesus healed him. It was an amazing account. He, made some mud with his spit, he rubbed it on the guy's eyes, and he said, "Go and wash, and your sight will be restored." And the man did as Jesus said, and he was healed. And think about it. So here, Jesus has given this man a new lease on life. He no longer had to beg for his livelihood. He was no longer, it was no longer necessary for him to be seen as unclean or a social outcast. He was healed. That's an amazing gift from Jesus. But he didn't stop there. In the later verses of chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, if you want to look at them, Jesus actually reveals his true identity to that man. He says that man has now met the Son of Man, Jesus. And the man believes in Jesus and worships him. See, Jesus not only improves the man's life here on earth, but he brings him into salvation for eternity. Jesus, the gate whom the sheep can enter through to eternal life. Now contrast that with the other big focus of chapter 9, the Pharisees. What did they do in chapter 9? How did they treat the sheep? I can tell you, they were brutal with them. If you've got chapter 9 open, you can see there in verse 22, the Jews had already decided that they were going to force out of the synagogue anyone who acknowledged Jesus to be the Christ. The parents of the blind man were scared of the Pharisees. The man who was blind, he was questioned a number of times over the same thing because they just would not accept that Jesus was from God. The man had insults thrown at him. He was written off as being steeped in sin from birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw the man out of the synagogue. Friends, that is the thief. That is why Jesus is talking here in chapter 10 about thieves and robbers. It's the Pharisees. What they're doing is they're robbing others of the opportunity to trust in Christ, of becoming one of his sheep, and thus becoming one of God's flock for eternity. And friends, I hope you will agree, that is the most valuable thing on earth that you can be robbed of. The Pharisees are not at all concerned with bringing life and safety to Israel. They don't come to the sheep pen through the gate of Jesus. Instead, what do? They come after the sheep. They chase them, they question them, they insult them, they treat them harshly. They come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, the complete opposite, says, I am the gate. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. In Jesus is life. And through Jesus there is safety. So will you come to that gate? Will you come to Jesus? Will you come to your Lord and find security in him? You know, when the world tries to pull you away, when it comes after you, dragging you into its own turmoil and pain, will you come to Jesus? Because Jesus is your gate. And when you come to him, you will find safety and pasture. So Jesus is the gate. That was that first point there. But in the glorious style of Jesus, he blows the minds of the people as they're sitting there, you know, trying to process all this gate stuff in their minds. He then throws them this curveball and says, I am the good shepherd. Well, that was me when I read this. I'm sitting there going, okay, I expect him to be the shepherd. No, he's a gate. Okay, he's a shepherd. And but if this is you, you know, don't be alarmed. The two, they aren't actually mutually exclusive. See, what Jesus is doing here, he's got his little parable, and it's like he's looking at this parable from two different angles or through two different lenses. Through one lens, you can see he is the gate for the sheep, and through another, you can see that he is a shepherd. And there's three things I want you to notice about Jesus, the good shepherd. They are, he lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep are entrusted to him by the Father, and he knows his sheep, and the sheep know him. So firstly, there in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now this is remarkable, even for, you know, what our understanding might be of, you know, the really sort of nice, timid little shepherd. You see, a shepherd, particularly, you know, an eastern shepherd around Israel, that type of area, as opposed to the Aussie drover, he's, you know, they're deeply concerned with the livelihood of their sheep. The sheep need his care. They rely on him for safety from the world. And the sheep actually trust that they will, you know, the shepherd will look after them. There's a trust there. You'll see this later. So when danger comes and the sheep's lives are in jeopardy, the shepherd would spring into action. If you know, think of King David. If you remember the stories of him when he was a young shepherd boy, if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you'll actually see how he would go after the lion and the bear who had taken off one of the sheep. And he would strike down that beast and save that sheep from the beast's mouth. And Jesus shows himself here not only as that type of shepherd, but an even better one. He's not just a shepherd, he's the good shepherd. His love and concern for the sheep is so great, his love for them is so strong, that Jesus says he, the good shepherd, goes even further to lay down his life for the sheep. Not only does he fight for them, but he's willing to give up his life to save them. And this isn't merely, it's not merely just a, you know, a display of Jesus' dedication. He makes it clear this is actually what God has given him authority to do. In fact, it's Jesus' whole purpose for being here in this world, in this broken world, to give himself up for the flock. And what's even more amazing is that Jesus not only has the authority to lay down his life, but he has the authority and power to take it up again. Jesus' life-giving actions, they're not the last hurrah, the final go of a shepherd trying to save his sheep. Jesus is saying here that it's God's will that he would die for them. And it's God's will that he would not be defeated by death, but that he would take up his life again so he can continue to lead and care for his sheep. And he says, not only is his will and God's will so aligned for our sakes, but that authority and power he possesses actually demonstrates his own divinity. Friends, that is the good shepherd. And here, where our focus, through this new lens, this is where our focus now zooms in to see the contrast between that good shepherd and the hired hand. In the face of danger, what does the hired hand do? He hightails it. He's out of there. He doesn't really care for the sheep like the shepherd does. And why would he? You're a hired hand, you know. What you're worried about, what you want, is your pay packet. If I look after these sheep, I get my pay. Fantastic. So when danger comes, in his eyes, it is far better for him to save his own bacon than to risk himself for the sheep. But the good shepherd, lays down his life. Jesus lays down his life for us. Second point about the shepherd there was that the sheep are actually entrusted to him. See, unlike the robber, the sheep are actually entrusted into his care. He's not come to steal them away. You know, since when have you ever heard a thief say, "What, honestly, officer, I was entrusted with this TV." Yeah? No. Jesus, the good shepherd, he hasn't captured the sheep for himself. They've actually been entrusted to him. And by who? It's the Father. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who rules over all and is greater than anyone, has given the sheep to Jesus. No one can ever overcome the will of God. Who is greater than him? No one. No one can ever defeat the will of the Father. And what's more, who does Jesus finally reveal himself as there in verse 30? Jesus says, what is really the pinnacle moment of this passage, in his exchange with the Jews, he says, "I and the Father are one." John chapter 1 puts it like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus, the Word in flesh, who was with God and is God, has had the sheep entrusted to him by the Father. And if Jesus and the Father are one, those whom God entrusts to Christ have safety and security forever. Jesus brings life and life to the full. There is no one anywhere who can take that away. No one can steal the sheep away from Jesus. Not a soul around can do anything other than the will of the Father. So the sheep are safe in the care of the shepherd because they've been entrusted to him by the Father. And the third point about the shepherd there is that he knows each of his sheep by name, and they know him. And as an extension, they actually call him. So add that. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a great lover of the recently discontinued show Top Gear. Anyone with me? Yeah, yes, that's all right. One of the funniest episodes I can remember was where British Top Gear and the Aussie Top Gear guys were having a challenge. It was the Top Gear Ashes. And one of the challenges that they had was who could round up sheep the quickest. Here we have the Aussie boys sitting there just looking and going, what are they doing? Now, of course, the Aussies were complete naturals, right? It's like we were born to do it. They had the sheep round up in the fenced area in only a few minutes, whereas the British presenters, not so smooth. I think after about 15 minutes or so and having lost a few sheep to the next pen because they jumped the fence mat by the end of it, they gave up to the superior droving abilities of the Aussies.
Yeah.
Now, the common thing between both the Brits and the Aussies was the way that they approached the sheep. They chased them. They scared the sheep into corners. They were herding them, I guess. And this is, it's a really common way when we think about particularly the sort of Aussie farmers, where you go behind the sheep, essentially push them in the direction that you want. But Jesus, the good shepherd, is so completely different. If you think back to the really famous Psalm, Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Sheep, you know, they lie down when they're safe, secure. They know they can be safe. And this is what Jesus does. He leads them in safety. The sheep entrusted to him, they're not these woolly little jumpery things that need to be herded along, but they are to be led and kept safe. To Jesus, they are so much more than little woolly things. They are his precious sheep. And such is the love and devotion Jesus has for the sheep that he knows each and every single one of them by name. Each and every sheep entrusted to him, he knows and he calls. And the sheep know his voice. You know, when called, the sheep hear his voice and they recognize that is the voice of the man who I can trust, who leads me in safety. They know they can trust their shepherd, and so when he calls, they follow. You see, not only do they hear his voice, they respond to the call. They trust and follow, knowing that their shepherd will keep them safe. How vastly different is that? This shepherd, he's not like the robbers, or the thieves, or the hired hand, or the Top Gear presenter. He is trustworthy. He has a tight relationship with his sheep. And I want to touch on one other little fact here about the sheep as well. Is in verse 16, Jesus tells them that there are other sheep that are not of this pen. And this is really, really important for us because that actually includes us. It talks about the Gentiles, us. And what Jesus is giving them here is this glimpse into the worldwide reach of the call of Jesus. There are people all around the globe who will hear his voice, hear his call, and they will follow. And when they do, Jesus will bring them and there will be one flock. One flock led by Christ for the glory of God. So that's the shepherd. Which brings us now to think about the sheep. And I want you to notice that there are two kinds of sheep. In Jesus' words, they are not my sheep or my sheep. So, firstly is the not my sheep. Here in John 10, these are actually, unfortunately, they're shown to be it's the Jews. The Jews, they thought they were the people of God. And why wouldn't they, you know? If anybody was going to be called God's people, it would be them. But here in chapter 10, and actually in previous chapters, when Jesus spoke to them, what did they do? They wrote him off as mad or demon-possessed. They don't know the voice of Jesus as their shepherd. And when Jesus, you know, he also does the miracles that he says speak of him. Just recently he's fed the 5,000, whatnot. They were still completely ignorant of his true identity. And even when Jesus actually tells them plainly here in chapter 10, I am one with God, what do? They try and stone him. If that's not recognizing the voice of God, I don't know what is. Jesus says, I and the Father are one, and their response is, kill him. The words that are a relief and a comfort for the sheep are an outrage to those who don't know him. If you were here last week, this outrage comes from that same spiritual blindness that Graham discussed last week. In seeking to honour the God that they think they know, they fail to hear the call of God himself. So that's the not my sheep. Secondly, there are those who are Jesus' sheep. And those who are the sheep that are entrusted to Jesus, what is different about them? What is fundamentally different is they listen to him. They hear his call and they respond. They recognize the voice of Jesus and trust him. They respond to him, not just sitting around hearing the call, but they know this is the good shepherd who loves them and is trustworthy. Those who belong to the flock of Jesus know him, but on the other hand as well, when thieves and robbers come after them, they know that is not my true shepherd. when someone, false teachers or the devil, come to entice them away from Jesus, they run away from that person. They run away from that imposter because they don't know and trust that voice. See, if the Jews in this passage are the not my sheep category, then we most clearly see who is the sheep when we look back at chapter 9, when we have a look at the man who was blind. That man, if you remember, he trusted Jesus' words that after he'd washed he would have his sight. He was asked by Jesus if he believed in the Son of Man, and he eagerly inquired so that he could believe in him. And when Jesus told him that you have met that man, he said, "Lord, I believe, and he worshipped. That is the man who hears the call of Jesus, recognizes and responds. The Jews reject Christ, but the man who was blind received him gladly and followed him and worshipped. That is one of the Lord's sheep. So I want to ask, which sheep are you? Probably not a question you've been asked very often, but which sheep are you? Are you on the outer? Are you not a sheep of Christ? What I mean by that is, are you being like one of the Jews? Do you think, like they did, that you are safe for any other reason than Jesus Christ lay down his life for you? I don't know about all of your different backgrounds, but for me, there are so many things about my background and my upbringing that could tempt me to feel safe with God. I've grown up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school just up the road. I've been involved in this local church for a number of years. I've played music for the church. I've led Bible studies. There's many things about my upbringing that could give me safety and security. But none of that is what truly matters. If all of that was true, but I don't hear Jesus' call to repent and believe, and I don't respond to that, then I'm not one of his sheep. If I trust in my life, anything in my upbringing to get me to heaven, then I'm not entering via the gate of Christ, and I'm not following my good shepherd. If this is me, then I'm not one of his sheep. And if this resonates with you, then beware. Look carefully about how you approach Jesus. Look and see if you are actually responding to his call. The shepherd is calling, so turn to him, lest you be left out of the flock. So are you on the outer? Or are you like that man who was blind? Have you heard the call of Jesus and put your trust in him? If so, then continue to listen to him and follow him every day. What a fantastic shepherd we've been entrusted with to follow. Jesus Christ, he goes on ahead of us, leads us into eternal life, and he lays down his life for us. That's how great his love is for you and for me, his sheep. So follow him because he knows you and loves you and he's leading you to eternal life. And if you are someone who has put your trust in him, I want you to regularly ask this question about yourself. Do it right now. I encourage you. Are you wandering off at any point from the path that Jesus is leading? Is there somewhere in your life that you are not following Jesus like you should? Sometimes we fail to hear his call. Or sometimes we just flat out completely ignore him because the path down there looks so much more interesting. Is there somewhere in your life that you are deviating from the path of Jesus? Then come back. Refocus on Jesus and look to him and step forward in faith, knowing that Jesus loves for, cares for, and knows what is best for you. He's leading you, so follow. Read your Bible with eagerness and longing to hear that voice of your shepherd. Pray that he'll open your ears to the message so that you'll hear, and be thankful. We have a loving, a gracious Lord who leads us and cares for us. We have a shepherd who doesn't drive us, but leads and protects, and knows each of you and me by name. Jesus Christ our Lord, the Good Shepherd, gives up his life for us, that we might have life and life to the full. Hear his voice today. Turn and follow. I'm a closing prayer for us. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing of your Son that you've given to lead us into eternity. Father, we pray that you'll turn us to follow him, to put our trust in him, knowing that he knows what is best for us, and lead us by your Spirit to follow him all the days of our lives until you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.